What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Random Number 74, Roomies and Movies with me. I'm Ox, and my friend is Luke, and we watch all the current and new entertainment for your sake, so we can tell you what to avoid, what to watch, you know, the good stuff. And for this week, we watched the first half of Hannibal Season 3, also the second half of the new Chilling Adventures of Sabrina on Netflix, as well as Bohemian Rhapsody. And did you get anything else watched, Luke?
I saw Suspiria.
Oh yeah, how was that?
It's a movie you need to see. I don't want to talk about it.
I knew like everybody's talking about how they were Mother, and I'm like, God damn it! Now I've got to wait for it to come closer. So
it's but I mean, it's definitely like 2 hours and 40 minutes long. It's super fucking long.
And it's a remake, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like a remake / reimagining. Like, it takes the bones of the original Argento movie and expands on it a lot. But yeah, I mean, Argento's movie is like 90 minutes long. This is like 152, so you can see they expanded it quite a bit.
Nice. Yeah, I think the only place close was Des Moines that was playing it, and I was like, I wasn't willing to take a 2.5 hour drive. I had to go to see it even. Right on. Anything in the news you want to talk about before we dive in?
No, I'm just following your lead.
Right on. I did see the funny thing that the Church of Satan is suing the Sabrina,
which is ridiculous. That's like, that would be like the Christian church, you know, or the Catholic church suing somebody because they had a depiction of Jesus. It's ridiculous.
I love that. I was trying to think if anybody else had done it.
Baphomet. It's not a statue of Satan. It's a fucking Mesopotamian god.
Yeah, which is ridiculous because I believe they built that statue for like I want to say it's the state capital of Oklahoma. I think there was a couple states that was like, no, we're definitely going to keep church and states together. And they're like, well, you're going to have to deal with Satan then, because that's how we troll. Which seemed to work.
I guess.
Which is just ridiculous. So, yeah, that's really the only news I can think of. You want to jump into Hannibal first or Sabrina?
Wherever you want to go, man.
Let's go with Sabrina then. That way, if people want to avoid spoilers, they can just jump right over this first section. Did you like the ending of it?
Did you like any more of it? On it last week.
Sure did not.
Nothing stood out for you.
Got worse and worse. Like, it just doesn't know what it wants to be, and like, it doesn't follow any of its own rules, and it's just a mess.
Not true at all.
Okay, maybe I'm being a little harsh with not following its own rules, but it's kind of neglects its own morals. Where you have Sabrina actually killing somebody and just not thinking anything of it because she knows. I mean, she can bring them back with the cane pit that they have, but the act itself, it just was like so nonchalant about it.
Well, I think that's because they play that as like a twist, like, oh, Sabrina killed somebody, but she had planned all along to bring her back, so it didn't really do anything. Like, I don't think that abuses her moral code at all.
I don't know. It just seems very weird. And then to see her, like, yeah, it sucks that Harvey lost somebody close to her, to him, but I'm going to throw all caution to the wind, and maybe he'll lose somebody else that he really cares about just because I'm trying to fix this one mistake that I made already. And it's just, I don't know. The whole thing just, it just goes on. It drains on forever.
It's 10 episodes.
And those hours feel like 3 or 4 hours each.
Nonsense.
That is not nonsense. These episodes are the worst.
You're such a hater.
I want to like this show. I see everybody else that likes it, and I'm like, oh, cool. Maybe we need more occult stuff, and like, I don't know. It just doesn't work for me, any of it. Like, the whole Satan side, Dark Lord side just seems so cheesy that it just, I don't know. It just absolutely doesn't work. I don't know if they're trying to be funny or they're trying to play it serious, but it just doesn't work one way or the other for me.
I didn't know that you hated life so much.
That's when fair. Did this happen? Did you really like it?
I like it well enough. I mean, it's not like I'm going to sing its praises, but I think it's fine. Yeah. There's stuff in between. Like, I don't think anything makes me like rush out and be like, "Oh, it's so great!" But like, there's little bits here and there that are really good.
Like what?
I still like Kieran and Shipka. Mm-hmm. Like, I think the role is kind of underwritten for her, but in the back half, I felt like it picked up and gave her some more to do with, like you said, her kind of plotting and scheming behind people's backs, mm-hmm. and showing more of a darker side. I think she had more to play with.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think the Ants and Ambrose were kind of fleshed out more in the back half with, Zelda's relationship with Faustus and, Ambrose's relationship and why he was conscripted to house arrest and him trying to get beyond that. And like, I felt they're starting to flesh these
but
characters
out.
But
it also seems so strange that like Ambrose knows he tried taking over the world, and like, just because like, he's like, well, it wasn't that big a deal, but like, that seems like a pretty big deal.
And he wasn't trying to take over the world. He just tried to kill the Pope.
For some reason, I thought it was take over the world. I think I was thinking of the original cat from the original series. So my apologies.
Or was that the cat from Hocus Pocus? I don't even remember.
I don't know anymore. But yeah, like, it seems fleshed out a little bit more. But like, it's just so many, and it just feels like inconsistencies. Because like, okay, so going back. Episode 6 is the exorcism, and like, everybody tells her she can't do it, and then she can't, and like, she's like, fuck it, I'm gonna do it anyway, and then she goes to it, does it, realizes she's not strong enough, and then Zelda appears and is like, no, you're definitely strong enough, let's just keep doing this, and like, just, none of it connects, like, and then to see all of that work and everything put together just tossed out the window because Mrs. Wardwell is just shooing her down this path.
Yeah, I like that, though. It shows these machinations behind the scene and the slight manipulation. And you realize that, like, why Sabrina... I think it's canny. They try and say... No, witches, essentially, you know, women can't do this. That's why you can't do it. Women can't do it. Even though in turn it's, you know, Satanist versus a Catholic or ritual. But it's kind of this idea of, like, subjugation of women, and you're not allowed to do this no matter how strong you are.
But it's really weird because the only way that they were able to do it is because her father wrote a rite, which there was no mention of anybody else, like, having...
But that's the thing. Did her father write it?
I guess I didn't think of that. I just took it for word value, but that makes sense.
You take
sense.
It for face value, yeah, from the fucking demon who's in love with Satan. And
the one that keeps lying. Yeah. I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
It also seems weird that throwing this worm in a well that can obviously just like tunnel its way back to the surface easy enough, but like, putting him with those split tabs means he's not going to return to the... It's like, I don't know.
It's the same as, like, you know, they bound it in a fucking wall in a mine and it couldn't get out because of the binding. You just hate the occult magic. Just admit it.
No, I love the occult magic. I just don't like the way they're portraying it. It just seems... It's trying to be tricksy with itself still. And it's like, I don't know. Like, we're watching this Hannibal series, and, like, everything's given, like, basically laid out in front. Nobody's lying to each other, so, like, this manipulation between everybody, and you have no idea what's really going on. It's just kind of, I don't know, frustrating, I suppose.
Is it? This coming from a dude who's all in on most of Lost, where people just lie and don't say each other to all the time.
Yeah, because I was on board with everybody lying and just fucking, like, let's go. Let's just fucking figure something out for ourselves and then be shitty people, because that's what most people are. But then the seventh episode is the Feast of Feasts, and they're like, ah, fuck it. Let's just sacrifice ourselves and people, which was ridiculous considering I watched the Hannibal series, the first half, before this episode. And like, everybody's like, nah, let's all just eat everybody. It's fine. Let's just do this. And I was like, it is fine. Not fine.
There's Come on, man. You have the end of this episode where someone slits her on throat and then a bunch of witches start eating her. And you're like, nah, I'm not into the show.
I definitely am not. I love it because the guy was cornered, and because a witch killed herself. And he's like, nah, fuck it. Feast on. I don't have to be held to any of that stuff. I don't know. I don't know. Also, the whole bringing back Harvey's brother. Also because Harvey was safe because of the spell she put on him, but more so trying to find the bearing in the cane pit, but trying to find his soul in Limbo, and then running into her mom and like that not being a sticking point. Like, why the fuck's your mom in Limbo? And why the fuck has she been here for 20 years probably?
I don't know. Maybe her mom had never been baptized.
Maybe, but it seems like that was for the lost souls. Like somebody had done. Well, I'm guessing there was a conspiracy against her mom and dad, but because they were from opposite worlds. But I don't know. It just is so messy.
There's 10 more episodes coming. That
no you don't fucking get thank you.
It's happening.
No way.
You need to know what happened.
I'm pretty sure. I'm fine with never revisiting this series ever again.
You fool. Why don't you love teenager things and stuff?
Because I did that half a lifetime ago. I don't need to revisit that shit.
You need to.
And then her finally getting Hellfire power. What the hell is that about? There were only three witches that, oh, I'm fucking burning, so it doesn't matter.
The matter it's Satan.
I guess that's Satan's four witches now. That's so it's ridiculous.
Satan gave her all that power when she signed the Book of the Beast.
Also, we finally get to hear a familiar talk, and then she snaps its neck.
Well, that means Salem could start talking soon. You never know.
No, I wanted him to talk this season. I don't give a shit about next season.
I can't believe it took me till almost the last episode to realize that the principal was fucking Balky.
That who he was who?
It's Balky from Perfect Strangers.
Oh god.
Bronson Tissue.
You didn't realize that?
Nope, took me forever. It was until like he was at the end and she was like gonna eat him or whatever. I was like, oh, that's Balky.
Yeah, I realized that right away. I was like, oh, that's awesome. I think I used to watch that show all the time when I was a kid.
Oh fuck, I did all the time.
But he's no longer on the show, so what's it matter?
True. Unless he comes back. You never know what's happening. I mean, she could take his body.
You're right. When you're right, you're right.
Although I feel it wasn't ridiculous at the end when she's like, I'm the mother of demons, I'm Lilith, and this and that. And you're like, yeah, didn't you guys explain that like 6 episodes ago?
It was just keeping everybody on track that had split up the season for their podcasts.
Because it's like in the episode, in the dream episode, with when they're trapped in there with that demon, and the demon sees her, and she's like, "Mother of demons," and I was like, "Oh, it's Lilith." Okay.
But doesn't that mean she has a spot next to Satan?
Does it? I don't know enough about religion to care. There's your answer.
And it's like it's so weird because it really feels like Edward, Sabrina's father, is the Dark Lord now. And, like, if that's the case, and then he's trying to groom Sabrina to be his wife, that's really just, I don't want to deal with any of that.
You know, like, I'm kind of, like, I'm intrigued you went that way, because I was reading some stuff online for a couple episodes and whatever, and people were saying there's an incest storyline in the comic, I didn't read who
that. I don't want any of that. That's not a story I need to ever see.
It's weird. Are you sure? What if her dad is still a goat, though?
Oh, no. I don't. Not even a little bit.
So then it's incest and BPM.
That's what it took to get her mom rid of this world. And for him to take that top spot, he just had to turn it into half a goat. And that's why
her mom's in limbo. Her mom's in limbo because she fucked a goat. That's why she's there. God damn it.
No, I just don't like this show. To hell with it. Which is sad because I really do like the actress, Shipka.
I think you just hate everything.
That's not true. You made me this. This is what you've done to me.
This is bullshit. Nope, not at all.
You know that's not true, and it's hard arguing it. It's even more disappointing that you like this show a little bit and I can't find any joy in it.
Yeah, that's weird. I did fall asleep watching the last episode twice, though.
Fuck you, man. And that was the most entertaining one. It's like, oh, fuck it. Kill everybody.
Like, because I went.
Friends just weirds me out. It feels like everybody's getting, like, these side powers and it's turning into fucking True Blood, where everybody kind of had a power and it's like, I don't want that.
Listen, every fucking supernatural TV show does it. Fucking True Blood did it. Fucking Vampire Diaries did it. When all of a sudden you're like, her best friend's a witch, and then this guy's a werewolf, and then this person turns into a dog. You know, just every show does it. You got it. Buffy did it forever. It's
unclear if her friends actually have power, or they're just seeing Miss Hardwell. I don't fucking know anymore.
Well, the one's definitely got the shining. You know, she sees visions and stuff.
Oh yeah, she does have the cunning. But it's hard to tell if the other friend. I'm guessing that's just Guardwell. It's really strange that in her lineage, there's all these women that dress like boys, or vice versa, and it just kind of seems like it takes away from her being this unique person.
Yeah, it is weird. Like, her ancestor dressed as a boy, and then like her uncle dressed as a girl. I'm just like, are you trying to say there's some kind of like biological defect for people who identify that way?
Yeah, that's really strange. And also that Roz's grandma is just like, you're a boy. You're definitely a boy. I'm blind, but I can definitely tell a guy's voice. And that's a guy's voice. It's like, you old bitch. I don't know. It's just weird. Also, I don't like the fact that Sabrina had to sign for her powers, and like, there was such a big sticking point, but I guess to save the town, she'll do it.
Well, everyone's gonna die to that fucking, the dark angel of death.
Not or whatever, everybody, man. Just the firstborns.
See, how do you not like this, man?
But Harvey wasn't fucking firstborn. She didn't have to worry about like her friends.
Well, all those other rest people of the town, are awful. Are they? We never met any of them, so it doesn't matter.
No, not true. We gotta learn that the one kid was abused when he was a child, and his best friend loves him, but he just doesn't want to tell him. This show's so scatterbrained.
So you're ready for the next 10?
I absolutely am not.
You're gonna watch them now, right?
I know you're gonna force me to, so I'm just gonna have to say yes.
You're going to check back in, see what's happening. Come on, man. You know she's going to that fucking witch school now, and she's all evil, and she's going to start participating in those orgies that
they
have.
What's funny is we definitely know that, and that's what's happening at the last 5 seconds of the show. And it's going to be Daredevil, and she's going to come back next season. She's like, I want to be good again. I don't want to be pouty for half a season. And it's like, no, just be Daredevil. Just do it. So, oh well. Do you know when the next season comes out?
No, I just saw that they were signed for like 2 10 episodes, that you know, when they got signed. So
I'm guessing with it being Netflix, I'm sure it won't come out till like spring. So if that, probably next Halloween.
Because I don't know, I figure they probably filmed them pretty close together since they greenlit it together.
I think they've had, well, I guess Shipka's grown, isn't she?
Grown?
She's not a teenager, right?
She's young. I don't know how old she is, but
I'd assume she's in her early 20s, and I don't think they have to really worry about her like having growth spurts like everybody on Lost.
There's no way she's in her early 20s.
You know, we're looking it up.
She was a child on Mad Men. Like a fucking
yeah,
child.
But that was a decade ago.
It was not that long ago.
How long ago was it, Luke? Actually, it might have been 8 years, so. Man, I really don't want to have to bite my fucking thumb for this.
Come on, tell me how old she is.
I'm looking. Also, I hate the way that Harvey calls her Brina. I think that's the stupidest ever.
Well, his name's Harvey, so what's the fucking matter?
Yeah, but she doesn't call him Harv. That's stupid.
She is
18.
See, told you.
Huh.
I mean, like, she's not. I'm just saying she's not in her early 20s.
Yeah, well, she's about to be 19. She'll be 19 next week.
Probably out as, you know, developed. It's just weird. You thrown in and he said grown. Because, like, that sounds like a real creepy uncle thing, which, like, come see me when you're grown.
No,
you know?
No. I was just this guy, the one kid from Lost who, like, they had him in the first season and, like, forgot about him the first season. And he was, like, fucking 6 foot tall.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Yeah. So. Well, it also makes me think of Tom Holland, who is definitely in his 20s, but definitely looks like he's still like 16, 17.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm sure we'll get it next Halloween. I would assume they're done, but I think they'd probably want to keep it in this time frame.
Or they want to capture the cultural zeitgeist and get it out before they get sued.
It's true. Maybe they're going to capitalize on that. We'll see. But I guess we'll swing around for season two, because Luke's going to make me.
Or I don't even know if it's a second season or if it's like a half season, you know, if they just split it into
two.
No,
it's definitely on IMDb. It has a season two.
Don't trust IMDb.
I trust them with my life.
That's a sad. Are you part of their IMDb Pro or whatever the fuck it is?
No, fuck. Why would I do that? They keep asking me for my name. I'm like, get out of here. I'm not trusting you with my information, but you better give me the right details.
It's true.
It's a perfectly balanced relationship. So on Hannibal, did you rewatch the first half of season 3?
I watched the first, like, 3 episodes, I think. I just didn't get through all of it.
How awesome is Hannibal still?
It's still good. Like I said, this is the part where it kind of gets kind of arty and pretentious for some people.
Those are excellent ways to describe it. It feels like they kind of knew this was going to be the last season, so they just kind of wanted to take the time. As opposed to from the last few seasons, the first 2 seasons, like, it was jam-packed episodes, and, like, these episodes have a lot more room to breathe, and, like, things are happening, and, like, you're untrusting of everybody that's speaking or not speaking.
And plus, one dude's, like, folded up, like origami.
That's so, like, the first time they showed it, I just thought, like, they whacked off his arms and everything. And it was just a limbless body. And then they went, like, his reforming of the crime scene, whatever. And, like, he unfolded it. I was like, oh, it's so creepy. He's like, he gave us his heart. It's like, you don't.
Yeah,
it's fucking creepy shit. But, I mean, it's still cool. So is Abigail actually dead then?
Is she?
God damn it. It I assume that Abigail's dead because they had Chilton's episode and he came into the room describing saying everything that she had already said. Also, she's not touching anything or grabbing anything tangible. So I don't know. It would appear like she actually died in this whole events, which is all right because Jack and fucking Boom actually survived, which surprised the hell out of me. Especially Jack, considering how grievous his wounds were. And he fucking bled out a shit ton.
I don't know. Alana got thrown out a fucking window.
Yeah, but that's just going to shatter your back. That's not going to kill you. So we pick up 8 months afterwards. You see Hannibal living his best life. I think he made a brief stint in France, and then he went on to Rome, right?
Yeah, and he's teaching art there.
Killed a couple curators to get the position.
Of course.
So badass.
You get the famous scene that they did in the Hannibal movie as well, when the investigators teamed up with him, and he's like, you know, bowels in or out, and that stuff's good, right?
it was discerning to see how Hannibal and the psychiatrist are getting along. Like, she understands everything that's happening and is looking for a way out. She did get her way out, I guess. But man, it's hard to tell. Like, I'm saddened that we haven't gotten a visual detail of what happened in the past with Hannibal and her, which I assume might be coming still.
Maybe.
Chilton getting fucked up by the bullet. That was a little graphic in like his reconstruction.
Yeah, he got.
And like it basically showed everybody getting pieced back together. Jack waiting for his wife to pass before taking on this whole endeavor again. And then Mason coming into the picture and like kind of planning out this whole scheme and like attracting, I guess, bounty hunters from Europe to find him.
Yeah.
You have the one Piazza, I think it was.
Maybe.
That was like onto him. He had seen him in his youth and like figured out who he was, but went to Mason rather than the cops there. And that was his downfall, literally, out the window with his bowels exposed. but you get Jack and Hannibal fight number two, which is fucking awesome.
Not as good as that first knife fight, then.
I mean, I would say it was comparable to that first knife fight. Jack just steadily handing Hannibal his ass, like, through fucking displays of this fucking luxurious fucking museum and shit. Which was ridiculous that they never, like, these are antique collectibles or one-of-a-kind things, and you're just fucking trouncing through them just to beat the shit out of Hannibal.
Well, you know, like, he did fucking wreck him and leave him for dead, man. You gotta get him.
It's true, but more power to Jack. I was super happy with how that played out, and then him having him chase after him, and then Will, like, fuck, he's under the table and just fucking cuts his tendon. I was like, shit. Perfect way to end this first half, though. With him fucking about to gouge Will's fucking skull open and then them going back to Mason. So, cool fucking shit. I don't think there's much more.
No, that's about where we are. So, coming into the last half.
And then no more Hannibal. I'm a little sad.
There's There was one thing I was going to tell you, but I think I might let it be a secret.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because they still haven't had the Tooth Fairy or the Red Dragon, which I'm guessing are the big parts of the second half. But with them having Hannibal, like, I'm guessing he still has to be big parts of it. The show's titled after him.
That doesn't matter.
Doesn't it, though? He's no. He's the interesting part of all of this. And it feels like they're going to get caught. But I also said the same thing in season two. And they completely blew my mind of how he just got away. So, I don't know. Mm. I'm excited to see how it all ends. And I'm enjoying the slowdown. Like, it feels like I can finally just breathe and relax with all these folks that I've garnered attention from this last month. So I'm enjoying it. It definitely doesn't have the panache of season two, but equally as fun. So yeah, it's Hannibal. Get caught up if you haven't yet and join us for the finale next week.
Yeah.
Then on to the main event. How'd you like Bohemian Rhapsody? Did it live up to your expectations?
I don't know. How much do you want to yell at me?
Oh, man. Listen, I really enjoyed it. I'm just going to get that out there. How didn't you like it?
I really didn't like it.
Really? That surprises me.
Why is that?
It just felt like this was just a nice rock story of somebody like we grew up. Not, I guess, how much did you know about Queen going into this?
A lot of Queen.
Okay.
I was, I don't know, 12 or something. And because I'm from a small town. And so, like, to get anything, just don't know what you're saying. I don't know. Hannah's mouthing words at me now.
You were 10 years old.
How do you know how old I was?
Because 12 would have been end of middle school. I was 14, the beginning of high school.
What does that have to do with anything?
Because we already talked about this and you said 10. It doesn't matter. We're arguing. Go ahead.
Anyway, no, like, went to the mall one time with my parents, and my dad bought a bunch of Queen CDs, like the two greatest hits. He's like, you need to listen to Queen. And they're like, that was me getting into Queen.
God, I love your parents. They're fantastic. My introduction to Queen was I stole my brother's CD case, and like that was in there, and I just never paid attention to it, and like traded his Queen's collection off to a friend for something stupid. I'm sure of it. But he, like, made me rebuy them, and then we, like, listened to him. I was like, oh, yeah, it's this band. Like, I didn't know it was them necessarily.
Yeah, it was, and that's when, like, when my dad bought those CDs, that's the first time I heard, like, you know, like, Bicycle Race and, you know, stuff that wasn't We Are the Champions or Fat, you know, I didn't realize that was them who did Fat Bottom Girls, you know, and shit you heard on the classic rock radio, but you could go so much deeper on it.
Did you know of Freddie's lifestyle or like how this band like stayed together for the most part? And
yeah, I mean, as you grow and get, you know, like, yeah, I knew all about Freddie and him dying of AIDS and their Live Aid concert. And, you know, like, I'm not like a Queen fanatic, but I know enough about Queen to.
You knew more than me. I think I really only just knew their music. Like, I knew Freddie died from AIDS, but like, we had, you remember Mike from Walmart?
Like,
he is a Queen fanatic, and like, he would always want me to watch the concerts and whatever, and I just never really cared enough to. And like, after watching the movie, I was like, oh man, because he never really goes to the theater and whatnot. I was like, are you definitely going to catch this movie? He's like, not really. And I guess like the Queen fans are so upset that what's his name was pulled off the project.
What's it?
I can't think of his, he played Borat. I can't think of his name.
Sacha Baron Cohen?
Yeah, like he had been training for like 8 years for this role and like looked the part. And I was like, I don't think Raimi looked too unlike the part. Like, I thought he played it really well. And like, they were thinking this movie was more family friendly. And I was like, I think they just worded that wrongly. Like, I don't think this movie is very family friendly at all. Like, they definitely showed his exploits.
Did they, though? It all seems so sanitized, though, in any sense.
Yeah, for the most part, you know, I suppose.
You know, like, I heard the stories of fucking Freddie Mercury standing naked on a balcony in New Orleans screaming, "We are the champions," at people, and then saying whatever construction worker had the biggest cock to come on up and spend the night with him. You know, like, those were Freddie's exploits.
Yep, I definitely never heard any of that, so. Huh.
Yeah, you know, like, he was... There was, it reached a point where, like, every, you know, you kind of see it in the scene where, like, his dad's reading the tabloid and the, when the press is pressing him, like, everyone knew, you know, they just couldn't get the goods on him. But there was a point where, like, he just kind of gave up and was just like, didn't fucking care.
Huh. That's wild. What did you like about the movie then?
I don't think it's a good movie, like, in a story sense. Like, one, the Queen fanatic in me was, like I said, I'm not a huge Queen nerd. I know enough to realize that, like, they fabricate a lot and kind of move stuff around to make narrative.
Did they, though?
Listen, fucking Brian May had a solo album before Freddie did. And you put a whole crust on Freddie going solo and that breaking the band up and then them coming back together for Live Aid. That's all fake. That didn't happen.
Yeah, I was talking to Mike about that, and he said he had played in Africa like a year prior to that, and like that's why everybody was upset that they were playing Live Aid. Is like it was hypocrisy about them doing that, but then playing this one, saying like we should all come together for them, and like, yeah, I can see the fabricated angles, but like I said, I just didn't know. Like, I only knew their songs and stuff, and like barely any of the story. So like, for the most part, the story seemed trying this. Okay, so remember when we were watching Jack Ryan, and like, how that felt very, like it was one person's point of view, and like it just kind of rubbed me the wrong way. I can see how that would do that in this movie.
Plus, like,
but also I just really enjoyed the music, and I like how they explained some of the songs and how they were special and to him. And those around him,
but sometimes it's just so derivative in the way it does. And like you know, like in the end, I could have stayed home and listened to my Queen albums, you know, and because that's all that really matters is the music. And the problem is, like, you can, and like I looked and I found it, like they dirtied fucking Freddie's vocal tracks up to make it seem like it was more raw and live, while instead of just lip syncing to the album versions. That makes it sound weird to my ear.
I can see that now. You're making good points. I'm not yelling at you. I can see your vantage point. I think I was just so ready for this movie, and like I didn't go listen to Queen to probably a couple months, just because I knew this was upcoming.
But so. I mean, like, it seems. You know, all the other guys, you know, Brian May and Deacon and those, they're all still around, and they all had, like, input and say in this movie, but because obviously he's not around. At times, it really feels like them being like, we succeeded in spite of Freddie, not because of him. You know, it seems like a lot of it, like, them saying, like, we were just as good, you know, we don't. So it's a really weird take on a biopic that way.
Interesting. Yeah, all good points. I'm guessing if you want to see the movie, you've already seen it. I think if you're a Queen fan.
If not, just go watch their 20-minute Live Aid set. Like, it has one of the best.
Yeah, for sure.
And the film tries its best to get it, but it's hard with a, you know, weird CGI crowd they're doing. But, like, when they sing, you know, Radio Gaga at Live Aid and everyone joins in, like, it's such a, you know, a watershed moment in, like, rock history.
Yeah, for sure. Right on. Well, yeah. Go fucking definitely watch Live Aid. I watched it.
Two nights ago. Plus,
it was crazy. It was crazy that they kind of almost tacked on the whole concert at the end of it.
I guess like they've said that they filmed the whole set. They just this is only cut in, yeah. But
I don't know.
It's just weird discrepancies like that. Like it bugged me when they went when they were touring in the Midwest on their first American tour. And, you know, that whole montage is set to Fat Bottom Girls and them playing it. But Fat Bottom Girls is on Jazz, and that came out after Live Aid, you know? Like.
Damn. See, I didn't know that stuff, so. Like, I think the most that I've known of them is, like, their collected editions. Oh, sure. Where it's, like, their hits and whatnot. So, like, I didn't realize, like, they had different albums. So, like, when they're in the studio and, like, coming up with these off-the-wall ideas, I was like, oh, I guess they definitely had to have, like, those random songs about him loving a car and shit like that. And, like, I just haven't looked into it. Like, I know the hits, I guess, but I kind of want to dig deeper and listen to their older albums and stuff. It's a lot like Iron Maiden. Like, I got into Iron Maiden off their hits albums and then realize like they've had a fucking discography of like 20 CDs or some shit. And like, there's so many random songs dispersed amongst all those albums that like,
I've caught enough. Like, again, like I grew up on the greatest hits. Right. But when I went through my like record collecting phase, you know, I caught quite a few Queen albums and have listened to older stuff that way through it. But, you know, like I have Day at the Races, Night at the Opera, Jazz. I need The Game because that's the one thing.
Also, can we talk about how great fucking Mike Myers is?
He's ridiculous. Why do they keep hiring him these like weird fucking roles like that? He's just as out of place here as he was in fucking Inglourious
Basterds. No, absolutely. I just found it ridiculous to see his name in the credits, and I was like, what the fuck is he in this movie? And then the part he did and like saying that nobody would listen to this and nobody like him, as I only imagined him like later in life becoming Mike Myers and like, or fucking Mike Myers, Wayne, and fucking playing it in the fucking Garth Mobile. Just so meta. But yeah. Yeah, but I don't think there's been a better frontman for a band. And I know that's a pretty bold statement, but I think Freddie was incredible and became a legend because of this entire not giving a fuck about what everybody thought persona he lived. Which was something to say back in the 70s.
Yeah.
So, right on. I think that's all I got for it. How about you?
Yeah, just go listen to some Queen records. It's fine. And yeah, like, for sure. It's sad. Like, Rami did good. Like, he did good despite the material.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. And like, thinking back on it, like, it feels a little disjointed. It definitely with the 15-minute concert on the end of it. Like, there's definitely stuff that could have been tightened up, but for the most part, I liked how it all played out. Like, it is definitely a polished version of everything.
Plus, so. Bryan Singer is a fucking dickhead, so don't give him money, I guess.
Yeah. To hell. Did he get
credit? Yeah, his name, right at the opening, it says directed by Bryan Singer.
Oh, yeah. Huh. That's weird. So, what are we watching for next week, then?
So do you want to be the one? Because you're so giddy and joyous about it.
Fuck yeah. Okay, so we're watching the last half of Hannibal, obviously. We're watching Girl in the Spider's Web, because you haven't seen any of the Girl movies, have you?
Why do you think I was telling you they're fucking trash? Do you think I just have this fucking...
Have you watched
the trilogy? I watched the first one, and I watched the second one, about half of it, and I was like, this is horseshit, and shut it off.
You're the worst. How did you not like
them? We'll talk about it next week, I guess.
That's fair. That's fair. Because I really enjoy this, and we'll get into it next week, I suppose. But I'm making them see Girl in the Spiderweb because I think it's going to be great. Also, because Claire Foy is playing that role, I also want to see Unsane, which Luke's has already seen that, but I wanted to watch it now, finally. Which I believe that movie's all filmed on iPhones, wasn't it?
I can't remember if it was or not.
I think it was definitely on cell phones.
Yeah, I think so. It might have been Soderbergh was fucking around with the iPhone, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So look forward to that. And then probably Overlord, right? Let's get the next movie in the Cloverfield.
It is not franchise. Part of Cloverfield. Get it out of your head. It's fucking...
I bet we get half a second of a monster. I'm like, no, nope, I bet you... And then you're going to come off pissed off.
Oh, man, my favorite tweet of last week. Did you see all that shit about the J.J. Abrams deal that's going around Hollywood? Okay. So he is basically shopping out to all these different studios. Seems like it's probably going to end up being Disney or Universal that gets him. But, like, I think his contract with Paramount's up for the TV and everything. But he's doing this huge, like, deal that encompasses everything. He's doing, you know, it's going to be... like movies where he has like a set schedule, which basically is just like, you know, you have to make room for my movie every 2 years or whatever if he has one come out. It's gonna have TV, movies, music, digital content, and he wants to get into the theme park business. But
this is that jumping point. I think Overlord's going to do
it. But they're saying that, like, if the deal goes through, it's probably going to be for, like, $500 million he's going to make off it anyway. But my favorite thing was, like, somebody tweeted, and they're like, the J.J. Abrams theme, like, completely serviceable and nothing great, but then someone whispers in your ear, it was all part of Cloverfield.
Boom, sold.
Exactly.
I'd finally ride a roller coaster for it.
But so yeah, Overlord, and then I want to try, like, I don't know, the first episode or two on Prime.
That's the Stars one, right?
The Stars one.
Isn't that the Stars show?
What the fuck is a Stars show?
Homecoming?
Oh, I think you're thinking of Showtime, and I think you're thinking of the whatever that one was, Homeland.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So what's Homecoming?
Homecoming's a new Prime show starring Julia Roberts. It's by the guy who created Mr. Robot. And it's it was based, like, it's an adaptation of a podcast. So...
oh, we know how well those worked out in the past.
It's not fucking lore where it's bad recreations.
Okay, fair enough. I'll give it a try just because I like Julia Roberts, so it's fine.
Fair enough.
So we're doing two episodes of it?
Yeah, I think there's 10, but let's just do two and see what we think of it. Pilot and then next
episode. That's fair. That works. Perfect. Sounds good. Anything else you want to add?
Well, if
you, how awesome this week was.
If you're, no, I don't.
What were you gonna say?
No, I was gonna say we're good. I don't remember.
Okay.
Some trash, something probably about how you're tasting fucking Girl with Dragon Tattoo stuff is dumb.
Not true. Well, listen, we'll get into it next week. I can't believe that you don't appreciate the series, but we'll talk about that.
Did later. You see? Have you seen the newest trailer? Have you seen the newest trailer?
No, I saw the first, like, probably a quarter of the first one. I was like, oh shit, yeah, I'm in.
Well, now, yeah, in that first one, you know, it was all like the Girl in the Spider's Web, and now at the end, it's like Girl in the Spider's Web, and then it goes a new dragon tattoo story because they can't sell people on this shit.
No, because it has to be separate, because the first trilogy was written by the main guy, and like on his way to deliver the drafts, like he died.
No, he was not. He fucking had a heart attack before he sold any of the books. He wasn't like on his way to
deliver. But no, but he only had three written.
Yeah, I know.
But this is the fourth one of that series then.
Yeah, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that you can't fucking show me that the trailer's all like, this is Lisbeth Salander and stuff, but now at the end of the trailer, because they're not getting any excitement, they have to say, oh, this is part of that dragon tattoo stuff, guys. Come on. You remember when you all liked this 10 years ago?
I think you're wrong, and I think this series is going to be incredible, and you just don't realize it yet.
Yeah, we'll get into it. We will get into it.
I can't wait for next week now, so check all that shit out, and we'll catch you next week for podcast number 75.
Whatever.
Be some pineapple and stuff.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.